If you want something done cheaply, you gotta do it yourself. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. Consumers are not the only ones who are over astronomically expensive drugs. A group of national foundations and hospitals is launching a new nonprofit company to make their own generic drugs. It's called Civica Rx. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has more.
The three foundations first started talking about creating Civica Rx in January. Since then, they've recruited seven hospital groups, including the Mayo Clinic, to join Civica's board and come up with some of the initial financing. The hospital's goal? To make their own generic drugs so they don't have to deal with generic drug makers who can't give them a consistent stream of affordable drugs. Will they succeed?
I think it's a novel idea, and it's worth trying, and I think there's a good chance of success.
That's Vivian Ho, a health economist at Rice University. She says hospitals won't just save money on generics. They'll also avoid the costly juggling act they go through when there's a shortage of a certain drug.
They have to think of cases for patients where they can reduce the dosage or not give the dosage to the patients who are less severely ill until they can get a bigger supply. So all of that creates additional costs.
Civica will ask hospitals to sign long-term contracts, guaranteeing a stable supply of drugs. It's not clear what that will cost. Ho says that's an important detail.
Certainly, this makes sense for the larger hospitals. I don't know if the smaller hospitals are going to be able to come up with enough funds to be able to participate in this type of initiative.
But Ho says if Civica is successful, it could help drive down the price of all generic drugs. Civica says it'll start by making 14 generics. It won't say which ones. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
A lot of money has been flowing out of developing countries and into the U.S. this year. For economies that were precarious to begin with, that's caused some staggering drops in currencies. The Argentine peso at one point was down 52% against the dollar. This morning, at different points, several currencies, including Argentina's, looked like they were improving. Diane Swonk joins us. She's chief economist at the tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
So emerging markets have been making people pretty nervous recently. We've seen crises in Argentina and in Turkey. But today, a lot of currencies look like they're starting to improve. What do you make of that?
Well, I think it's great that they're starting to improve, and we hope it's the beginning of a trend towards stabilization. That said, we also have to remember we don't have the tools to deal with an emerging market crisis that we once did, and that's the Federal Reserve cutting interest rates aggressively. There's just not very far to go when you're already close to zero on interest rates. So it wouldn't take much of a crisis and much more of a flare-up to have more contagion and concerns about our own U.S. markets. The idea of what was once known as the Greenspan put, where he eased and made everything all better and shored everything up whenever we had a crisis abroad that fell on our own shores, those safety factors are just not there anymore.
Diane Swonk, chief economist at Grant Thornton, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Not everyone gets a chance to study the economy in school. Anyway, who doesn't need a brush up? Marketplace helps you continue your education in a way that we hope is smart, accessible, and hopefully even a bit fun. Your donation is not only an investment in your own learning, but also in helping us make more people smart about the economy. And that, we think, is good for everyone. To learn how you can help, visit marketplace.org/investors. Thank you.
Southeast Australia is in the throes of a massive drought, the worst in nearly 40 years. The government is putting together an aid package for New South Wales of $2 billion Australian dollars. That is $1.4 billion U.S. dollars. We've got Phil Mercer on the line. He is the BBC's Sydney correspondent. Good morning, Phil.
Yes, morning to you.
Phil, just how bad is the drought right now?
The entire state of New South Wales is officially in drought. This is the most populous state in the country, and you go to areas that were some of Australia's prime agricultural lands, and the earth is barren. It's bone dry, it's brown, it is dusty, and pretty desolate too. And the people who rely on that ground for their livelihoods, farmers and farming communities, are struggling. Some are spending a small fortune trying to keep their livestock alive. So it's desolate on the ground, and pretty desolate for the people there too. The farmers trying to survive what many are calling the worst drought in living memory.
Wow, this is clearly causing a lot of suffering for farmers. Is it impacting the overall Australian economy?
Well, not so far. We recently had GDP figures, national income figures for Australia, almost at 3.5%. So this is a country that hasn't had a recession since the early 1990s. But safe to say, you don't have to go too far out of the major cities to find depression in local economies. That drought zone area around the city of Tamworth we went to recently was suffering not just farmers, but of course farmers that spend money in towns, and they're not doing that to the same degree.
How will the $2 billion Australian dollar aid package help things? What sort of help will that bring?
The main focus of all of that money is to try to keep farmers and farming families on the land. For example, if you own livestock in New South Wales, for example, it is very, very expensive to buy feed. Some of that feed is coming from up to 800 miles away. And the big problem for some farmers is that because it's been so dry for the last couple of years, at least in some areas, the crops that they would normally grow to sustain their cattle through the months of winter and into the spring and summer, those crops have simply failed. It's a perilous situation for many farming families, and some of those we spoke to in the drought zone don't think they'll be able to stay on the land despite all of that government money coming into circulation. But of course, what these communities need is something that the government doesn't control, and that's rain and lots of it.
The BBC's Sydney correspondent, Phil Mercer, thanks so much.
Thank you.
In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.